Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the RediShred Capital Corp second quarter 2021 financial results and business update conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there'll be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero. I would now like to turn the conference over to Jeffrey Hasham, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the RediShred Capital Corp Q2 2021 conference call and update. I want to first indicate that we had a great quarter, and EBITDA was well up from last year. That was the, I think, the easier part. The harder part was, making sure that not only was the EBITDA up over 2019, but that we improved the business along the way. And for many of you that have been following us over the last 18 to 20 months, even 24 or 36 months, I think one thing that everyone knows is that we've been striving and now accomplishing some good improvements in the business, and we're starting to see some of the results show up here on our financial statements. So first and foremost, we need to thank our employees for the job that they do, our franchisees who are out there every day as well, and of course our board and our shareholders for all their support over these many years, and in particular through the last 18 to 24 months that have been very much unprecedented. Second quarter, 2.6 million Canadian, so that was up 68% versus Q2 2020. I want to make a comment. We do not include government assistance in these numbers. We haven't included government assistance even last year during the heart of the pandemic when we received our second round this year. All of our numbers are excluding the government assistance. You're getting a real feel of what the business is doing and how it's performing. Our overall consolidated EBITDA margin, 30%, so that was a 400 basis points increase versus last year and 200, the same quarter last year, and 200 basis points ahead of the first quarter. So we did see some good improvement quarter over quarter and then comparable prior year quarter. What drove this? I'd like to first start. One of the things that we, everyone who knows us, we want to buy things and then we want to build on it. And when you buy something, the first very important metric is that same corporate location driver. Kosh is going to talk in more detail, but we saw good increase in our sales. And we'll be having an investor presentation out later today, and we'll provide some of that analysis where you'll see that same corporate location growth, not only, of course, versus 2020, but versus 2019. Strong kudos to our marketing and sales team, because that was driven a lot by new business. The marketing team jumped on things early in the year. They knew that things were opening up. Let's be front of mind for our customers. And of course, our sales team executed on that by also being ready. So kudos to them. And last but never least, the client service and operations team needed to be ready. So that same location growth was very important. Of course, we had clients returning from COVID-19 restrictions and opening their offices. Not everyone is open yet. So that might be the good news. Not everyone's open. Some of our clients are partially open or will be opening later in the year. And of course, the Springfield acquisition that we did on December 31st, and we'll talk a little bit more about acquisitions later in the presentation. And then, of course, our Richmond acquisition that we did on May 1st, both of those were accretive, adding to the top and bottom lines. So overall, we come back to the revenue line for a moment. Again, a record revenue month, $8.7 million. That's a 44% growth over the, of course, the prior year, and and we'll have some comparatives to 2019, which is very, very important as well. If you take out the foreign exchange effects, that was actually a 58% constant currency growth. Obviously, the Canadian dollar continued to strengthen, but looking at this in U.S. dollars, and we'll continue to report this the constant currency growth to provide that incremental color. Overall, the team worked hard. They put their head down, all the moving parts came together. And again, we're very appreciative of everything everyone did. I'm going to pass it over to Kasia so she can go into the details of the corporate locations at this time.
Thanks, Jeff. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining. Yeah, so I'll jump into the corporate location second quarter results and then just touch on the year-to-date results as well. So as Jeff mentioned, during the second quarter, we did see the U.S. dollar continue to be weaker relative to the Canadian dollar versus last year. We saw the average rate decline from 1.37 in the prior year to 1.25 in Q2 2021. So I'll speak to the constant currency growth results, which we now disclose in our MD&A as well, just to eliminate that foreign exchange fluctuation. So overall, we saw very strong performance from our corporate locations in the second quarter, and that's not only when comparing to the prior year, which was the worst pandemic quarter we saw, but also from an efficiency and margin standpoint. And then as Jeff mentioned, we don't include our government assistance in any of these operational results either, so it is strictly an operational perspective on these results. Our same location shredding sales grew by 47% this quarter versus Q2 2020, as our non-essential clients continued to resume their services with the easing of the COVID restrictions, and our sales teams continued to add new clients on a monthly basis. For same location recycling sales, those grew by 15% quarter over quarter. And that was driven by an increase in the paper tonnage, which was quite significant and consistent with the increase that we saw in the shredding sales, but also offset partially by lower paper prices, as we did see a temporary surge in pricing last year due to COVID-related paper products shortages. And then in terms of the other two revenue streams that we have, electronic waste sales and scanning sales, our scanning sales in the second quarter were strong and primarily stemmed from the Massachusetts acquisition. We generated $445,000 in the quarter. And the e-waste sales actually declined by 18% during the second quarter, as we're still seeing an impact from COVID, with many clients disposing of desktops rather than laptops as employees continue to work from home, and that's resulted in lower resale values. We do expect the sales to improve, though, in the next coming quarters as the larger clients return to offices and there's a shift back to higher dollar equipment like laptops. So in total, our same location sales grew by 39% in Q2 2021 over Q2 2020 and have also grown past pre-COVID sales levels, specifically when we look at the second half of 2019. So we're very pleased about that. Our costs continued to be well managed this quarter as well, and so that resulted in same location EBITDA growth of 63% over the last quarter, the prior comparative quarter, and a 500 basis points improvement in EBITDA margin to 37%. So while we increased our costs over last year to support the growth, it was at a much lower level than the growth in sales that we saw, which was over $1.1 million year over year. And in terms of the EBITDA margin level and whether that's sustainable going forward, we certainly will continue to work towards achieving these margins. And we don't have any significant plans to increase costs in any one particular area in the near future. When we do invest in increased marketing spend, for example, we closely monitor our return on investment and the related sales increases, so to ensure that these margins are still there. We are, however, seeing some market pressures when it comes to driver wages, as well as insurance premiums, but maintaining an EBITDA margin in and around the 35% level, we still see as achievable going forward. In terms of our results from acquisitions, or what we call our non-same locations, Those included the Massachusetts results, which includes the ProScan business, and the Richmond results for May and June, as these were not in the comparative prior year. The EBITDA from the acquisitions was $785,000 in the quarter, and our EBITDA margin was strong at 50%. And as mentioned earlier, our ProScan sales were very strong in the quarter, and that didn't require additional fixed costs, so that resulted in the margins being strong. And the ProShred Massachusetts and Richmond locations also had a great quarter and are both performing to plan. When looking at total corporate location results then for the quarter, so that includes our same and non-same locations, we saw total sales grow by 53%, and then we saw our EBITDA grow 151% year over year to $3.2 million. And with the cost management, our EBITDA margin improved by 800 basis points to 40%. So we're definitely pleased with this level of performance and the record level sales and EBITDA we've been able to achieve this quarter. And now I'll just touch on the year-to-date results. Obviously, on a year-to-date basis, the strong second quarter certainly helped improve the year-to-date results, as we did still see the business coming back from COVID restrictions in Q1. And of course, Q1 2020 was mostly a pre-COVID quarter. So we're definitely glad to have now surpassed the pre-COVID level sales and EBITDA levels, and we'll continue to push that forward. So on a year-to-date basis, our same locations grew 15%, and we saw EBITDA growth of 36%. And then on a total sales basis, we were up 43% year-to-date with an EBITDA growth of 76%. And our margins still remained strong at 36% for same locations and 44% for the acquired locations. And we've also seen an EBITDA margin improvement by 500 basis points. And of course, this doesn't include any of the government assistance that we did receive in the first quarter, and that was $1.3 million. So that sort of wraps up the corporate locations. I'll just speak briefly to our capital management and then pass it back to Jeff on the acquisitions. So during the quarter, we generated $1.8 million in cash from operations, and we continued to pay off a significant amount of debt, which was a total of $1.3 million. We also used another $1.3 million in our cash reserves for the purchase of the Richmond acquisition, and so we ended the quarter with $2.2 million in the bank, and we have another $1 million available on our line of credit, and $1.4 million available on our term loan facility. During the quarter, we also had our financial institution approve two favorable terms to our credit agreement, one of which was reducing one of our covenant ratios, and the other one was allowing the inclusion of our government subsidies in the calculation of the financial covenants. So this will provide us with additional cushion in the covenant limits going forward and more flexibility in our borrowings, which is great. So I'll pass it over to Jeff to speak about the acquisitions.
Yeah, thanks, Kasha. Appreciate that update. She gets the fun stuff. The corporate locations performed very well. It was nice to see that the acquisitions that we did to start the year and during the year do very well. So just to recap that, so Massachusetts was a December 31st acquisition. It was something we wanted to do earlier in 2020. We held off. Sometimes things happen for a reason, and we were able to buy a business that was poised to do well, and we can see that in the numbers. Just to recap that, it had 10 shredding trucks, and also the scanning ProScan business. So good business. They did $3 million in revenue in 2020, and we can see that they're doing much better in 2021. The ProShred Richmond business that we acquired on May 1st, that had four trucks. They did reasonably well during COVID. That business is also performing well, as we can see in the numbers. And that fits really nicely because now the whole state of Virginia is being serviced by corporate entities, and we're now starting to regionalize the area with the good management, good client service, But we're able to share within the region, which is wonderful. And Atlanta adds to that Southeast Mid-Atlantic region. So we'll talk about Atlanta next. So Atlanta, as many of you know, we purchased that business on July 30th, 2021. So essentially August is the first operating month. So we don't have any results in the quarter from Atlanta, but obviously will favorably impact third quarter, as will Richmond as well, because we'll have a full 3 months for the Richmond business, so a full quarter, and then we'll have 2 out of 3 months in the quarter for Atlanta. So Atlanta was $1.3 million last year, 5 shred trucks and a hard drive truck. Again, a nice business. We also did on July 1st a very small acquisition in Albany, $100,000 a year in revenue, and $170,000 was the purchase price, with a good chunk of that being on earnout. We like those ones too, you'll see a little bit of disclosure in our MD&A and financial statements on that one. That one we paid out of cash flow. We're integrating that into routes. We didn't even buy trucks. We just tucked that into our existing routes. Their trucks were not great. We're actually been adding trucks to the region anyhow to support the growth in upstate New York as well as in New York City, which as New York City is now returning to work and returning from the COVID times, we're seeing good growth in that market. So it was a good time to do that acquisition. So all our acquisitions to date have been very good, as you can see in the numbers. The team's done a good job in bringing these together. I think as I look out now, the timing for these are all very good, because what we're seeing in the U.S., of course, with COVID-19 is, yes, the Delta is like here is moving upwards, but in the U.S., they have a very different mentality. They stay open. And right now, what we are seeing, many, many of our clients are now mandating that all employees and all service providers entering their facilities need to be vaccinated. So that's going to further push vaccination. And as vaccination continues to get pushed, that is a very positive factor for our business. So those are all positive things. The FDA approving the Pfizer vaccine and soon the Moderna, not for emergency use, but for full-time use. Again, that's going to have very positive impact. So we're starting to see the impact of some vaccine mandates and things like that that are going to have further positive impact as the remaining clients of ours go back to work and get back into the office. So we're really pleased that those developments have happened in the marketplace, and we'll continue to be agile, continue to be monitoring the market. Both the marketing and sales team are very, very in tune with the stats online, those things allow us to react a little sooner, which is great. So with that all being said, love to open it up to questions. Appreciate everyone joining us this morning. So I'll turn that back to Ariel to get some questions in front of us.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To join the question queue, you may press star, then 1 on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then 2. We will pause for a moment as callers join the queue. Our first question comes from Amar Azat of Echelon Partners. Please go ahead.
Jeff, Kasia, good morning and congrats on a very strong quarter.
Thank you, Amar. Good morning.
My first question is on the organic growth rate. I just want to dig a bit more into it. You guys spoke to 2 factors in your prepared remarks, one being the easing of COVID restrictions and 2 being the addition of new client accounts. How do I think about the split between both? Any way to quantify how much is from the easing of COVID restrictions and how much from from new clients?
Yeah, and it's an interesting one. You know, there's still about probably, depending on the market, anywhere from 8 to 12% of our clients still on hold. So if you use a baseline of 2019, right, you've got sort of that baseline there of clients that are out there. Again, some markets might be a little bit better, some markets a little bit worse, but you know, use that range. So when you look at the schedule, and this is really mainly scheduled, right? Because the purge clients, you know, they sort of come and go, but mainly scheduled. So then, you know, if you look at the sort of the 5% growth in scheduled that we had versus the latter part of 2019, you know, that on a same store basis, you know, that's a pretty strong growth. A lot of that, and again, that's happened because over the last year, we've continued to book new clients, right? So it's not been zero, right? So we continue to book new scheduled clients, and of course, I think you can see from this quarter that it was a very good quarter from a acquisition perspective, and there was some pent up demand, frankly, in, you know, starting in March and going through the quarter. There was some pent-up demand as people returned to the office. The purges that they were going to do, you know, they in 2020, they finally got to. So we saw some of that as well. So we don't have the exact quantification of that, but we can see from who's still on hold that you know, there was not a lot of people still on hold, which is good, but the incremental growth from new bookings was certainly there.
No, that's a good proxy, like comparing it to late 2019. Okay, can you maybe speak to us about the competitive landscape out of COVID and how it compares to pre-COVID? Like, what is allowing you guys to win new accounts? Are these accounts, were they serviced by somebody else in the past, or they just didn't have a shredding service?
Yeah, look, it's a little bit of everything still, right? So again, our target market is a small, medium-sized enterprise. And small, medium-sized enterprise, often are still unvended. So there's some of that where, you know, we're still winning net new business to shredding services. And then like anything, everybody, all our competitors are out there and, you know, of a contract is coming up for renewal. You know, we're hoping to be in front of that customer ahead of that renewal and looking at how do we win their business and earn their business. So we have some of that. Like anything, there's also, I think, some churn that can happen from time to time. Sometimes, and again, we're winning a little bit more of our fair share of larger clients. And I think, again, with larger clients, you know, they'll go to RFP and you know, we have a reasonable chance, not with the largest clients, but with those medium and large clients. So there's some of that that's going on. So yes, we're stealing some business, which is fine. Others try to steal from us too. I think our target market, obviously being the more SME space, has been a good one for us. And because they're sort of the driving, you know, the small business is what drives the growth. It's always driven the growth in the United States. People start new businesses. And when you start a new business now, what do you need, right? You need all your services, whether it's phone service, internet service, coffee service, shredding service, right? So there is some net new there. And, you know, we're seeing even the smallest type of clients need the service, right? Even if you're a three-person law firm, you need this service, so that's helping drive the growth.
Great. I want to switch gears to the scanning side. Obviously, it's hard to assess the year-on-year performance because you didn't have Massachusetts in last year's quarter. But I'm not sure if you have the Massachusetts number for last year when they weren't part of your operations. Like, how does this $400,000 in scanning compare to last year?
It was really good. you know, last year they were under $1 million in revenue for the whole year, right? And, you know, now here we are sitting here for the first half of the year. Well, for the quarter, as you said, there was 473,000. So certainly and you can see in the non-same location, 445. So it was a good quarter. You know, it's interesting because as people came back to their offices, and remember who came back first, right? So SMEs came back first, government institutions started to come back, and we have some good government clients, we have good SME clients, but there's also, this is more of a large client-focused business, right? So our target market is more large. So as those companies started to reopen, you know, they got back on the scanning projects and started to bring those back to us. So like 2020 hit the scanning business, probably not as hard as shredding, but it still hit them. And now it seems to be coming back. And the more and more people get in the offices, the more and more they're going, oh, I got to go revisit this project, right? And so we're really, it's really good there. We're also learning this business in a good way. We've got some new software and that we're looking at and seeing, hey, can we invest in some new software that might reduce some of the direct costs. So now that we've had this business a little while, we're starting to understand the marketing dynamics, the sales dynamics, and also looking for operational improvements. So that's sort of where we're at now. So I think the scanning business was a good one to invest in, and will continue to be a good one to invest in, because I think what we can do from here, and we're already doing it, we're already marketing ProScan in all of our corporate locations. So that's something we're doing. Our salespeople are enabled to initiate the sales process and then hand that off to more veteran and seasoned scanning professionals as we, you know, as we go deeper in the sales cycle. It's a longer sales cycle, as you can imagine. But that's the beauty of our corporate locations now, right? We can send one message across the entire system, market to every single ProShred customer every other month on ProScan. And so we're going to see some more wins from ProScan just by that very sheer size of the database and our ability to market to it.
So thanks. That's very good color. So you feel that 400,000 is sustainable? There isn't a lot of like pent up sort of demands in there. Is that fair?
Yeah, there's some seasonality. So great question, follow up question. Q2 and Q3 are the better quarters in scanning. So I think in Q3 we should see something hopefully similar, maybe a little less, but and maybe a little more, but in and around there. And then Q4 tends to be light. It's always been seasonally light in the scanning business. Interestingly enough, it's light in the shredding business too. And at the end of the year, people aren't always making decisions, or they're making decisions to spend money for the next year, right? So we have a little bit of that, but I think if we look at the longer run, we're investing in marketing and in sales in the scanning business, and that should pay dividends for us into 2022 and 2023.
Maybe one last one and I'll pass the line. M&A, so you did one largest one December 31st, a couple of tuck-ins, than a very smallish one, I guess, like recently. How do we think about M&A capital deployment into M&A from here until year ends? Is your plate full, more of integration, or can we expect you to continue to make weapons?
Well, the good news, especially for Atlanta, is with the borders opening up, we can send people in to integrate these things the way we like to integrate them. So, you know, with Richmond, with Springfield, it was hard. But, you know, fortunate for us, great team there. And we levered our U.S. team. We levered our U.S. team even more for Richmond and Atlanta, which is great. And so integrations, you know, we've got a good team. The team is executing on the integration side. What does that allow myself to do and others on our team here? You know, it allows us to continue to build a pipeline. And the pipeline continues to be good. There's a bit of a shift towards independence. We expected that. I mean, I think if you remember when the paper prices crashed in 2019, we said, just hang on. I think this is a good opportunity because some of these smaller guys are gonna have some troubles. And then COVID hit and paycheck protection money came in and two rounds of that money came in. So that held them, that actually helped them out and allowed them to hang in there. I think we're starting to see, and I'm seeing it in my pipeline, people going, okay, you know, is this something that I want to do? You know, paper prices are still not, near where they were in 2019. And so we're getting we're seeing a shift to that independent side pipeline. And I think, look, I'd love to get more deals done this year. We still have capital to do it. And we've got every kind of deal in our pipeline, large, medium, and small. So that's the good news. So we'll continue to push hard on the acquisition front. And I know we've got a great team to integrate these things.
Great. Thanks for the color. I'll pass the line. Congrats again.
All right. Thanks, Summer. Be well. We'll talk soon.
Our next question comes from David Ocampo of Cormark Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, David.
Good morning.
My first question here is just on the margin outlook that Kashi provided and kind of how I'm squaring it up is you have this increase in cost from drivers, and then that's partially offset by some of your customers coming back, I think the 8-12% that you noted. But then you layer that on with paper pricing, which looks like it's up again, or it should be up again in the quarter. So I'm a bit surprised by the margin guidance of 35%. I thought it would at least hang on here, if not move up a little bit higher.
Yeah, I'll jump in and let Kasia add some color, but I think that's a longer-term average for us, right? So we might sort of looking beyond the advice on the paper. Paper has gone up in the third quarter. Will it continue to go up? I don't know. David, if I could predict the paper market, I'd be a rich, very rich man at the moment. So, that's one of the challenges. And one of the things that we've had to do is make sure operationally we were sound, make sure our routing was sound, make sure we're geo-targeting our sales, all those types of things to enhance the margin. And the team's done a good job. So there's some margin accretion here from paper, not a lot because paper was about 108, but there was some and they'll continue to be. But I would argue that, I think it's important to look at this more longer term. And so paper plays a role in that margin percentage. Having said that, and I'll counter myself a little bit there, yes, we're going to continue to grow the business, geo-target, route management, so that should help us. But, if you sort of look at last year and even the last couple of years with paper being low, we've been in those sort of, let's call it 33-36% range has sort of been where we are. So I think, 35% is a very good target for us. David, I'll tell you, everyone's looking to beat it if we can. But Kasia, did you have any other color on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think just breaking up our costs a little bit, what you'll see is, our direct costs will go up naturally with the increase in the sales, but at a reasonable level. And then while at the same time, we're trying to maintain the same level of fixed costs, there's not really a lot more to be added in those fixed costs. Paper prices have continued to go up a little bit more post Q2 as well. So we'll see a bit of an uptick there that obviously will flow to our margins. But of course, over last year, the paper prices were lower versus this year, and we're still not at that sort of 10-year average yet. So I think the margins are still keeping up even with the paper prices we're seeing.
And then sort of as a follow-up, the remaining 8-12% of your clients that aren't operational right now, those are primarily downtown customers. So are those customers more expensive to service? Because I would have thought that you know, it would have been much better margin business just because of the route density.
Yeah. So two things there, right? They are much more expensive to service. And you can just imagine you're in Toronto, you're in New York. If you have one client in the Empire State Building, you're losing money, right? It doesn't matter what you charge them, and you can't charge them out of market, right? Look, our pricing in Manhattan is way higher than anywhere else in the country. It makes sense. The route density helps. And as these customers do come back, that'll be good because, you know, we are going into Manhattan every day as an example. We are going into downtown Chicago on our regular schedule, but it's still not full, right? And so, and it's not really regular. It's an abbreviated schedule. So we're doing anything and everything we can to, you know, ensure we're doing it the right way. You're going to get a little bit of both there. But pricing is much higher in those downtown cores, particularly in Manhattan. And it is about, you know, we're going to return. Like, we're not proactively selling or marketing in that market. We are marketing, but selling at the moment is very difficult. Having said that, it's starting to come back. We are seeing more inbound, and then we're going to be launching. We have started to launch, frankly, in the third quarter, more proactive sales measures in Manhattan, as an example. So the good news is the downtown clients will come back, and as they come back, we'll start to layer on new clients, and that's the beauty of it. So we should see reasonable margin out of that, but it's the margins in Manhattan are not the same as, say, Westchester County. Because in Westchester County, I can go to a two-story building and service that very, very easily. So those three containers we might have on the second floor in a Westchester building, even with the higher prices in Manhattan, you're still not making as much money. So we love the suburbs. we love servicing the suburbs way more than the downtown cores, that's for sure.
No, that's very helpful and very good color. And then a final one for me here, we're seeing all the supply chain issues. So I'm just wondering, are you guys having any issue with ordering trucks and maybe even securing parts for maintenance?
Yeah, right now, no. We're fortunate, I guess, that, we're able to secure, we plan our truck buys well in advance. We communicate with our vendors well in advance. We have an idea of when we need them well in advance. You don't always know, right? You land a big account, you might need a truck right out of the gate, right? But given that we have good relationships with our truck vendors, you know, we've been able to get accommodation, if you will. So far we've been lucky that we have good relationships. That's not luck. And we've been able to get the supply that we've needed on the truck side. That could change. Obviously, we were aware, you know, microchips are on all these things, and there's been challenges there. So, from a supply chain perspective, you know, that hasn't impacted us yet. And maybe it won't as production starts to kick back in and as things start to grow. Again, hopefully, these factories and production facilities will continue to uptick their production.
Okay, perfect. That's all the questions I had.
Thanks, David. Have a good morning.
You too.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Our next question comes from Devin Schilling of PI Financial. Please go ahead.
Well, hi, good morning, and congrats on a great quarter here.
Morning, Devin. Thank you.
Morning.
Are you able to quantify any impact from pent-up demand in this quarter? Like, I guess when clients go back to the office, are you normally seeing a one-time purge of paper that was, I guess, stockpiled prior to COVID?
I think you're seeing a little. I think you see that pent-up demand more in our unscheduled revenue number. And so when you look at, for example, the system sales, you know, unscheduled really did have an uptick, not only versus, you know, again, the 2020 number, which was easy, but certainly quarter over quarter. So if you look at Q2 versus Q1 of this year, and then if you look at sort of the 29 comparables, you know, we're certainly up, and I think you'll see that in the MD&A when you sort of look at those quarterly charts that we do. I'm just referring to it now. You know, that's where we're certainly seeing, you know, if I look at, and I'm just looking here at sort of Q4, we're, you know, we're back to that Q4 2019 number. Not quite back to the full, even very close to the Q2 2019 number. But, you know, again, that there was some pent-up demand there that we were able to capture. So I think that was good. You'll note, even during the pandemic, you know, Purge was the source of revenue that saved us in a way, right? You know, we purposely started to market in about May of 2020. So June of 2020 was actually a good Purge month for us, because we knew people were starting to come back even at that point in time. So Purge is one of those things you can turn on, off and on. And we knew that there was going to be some pent-up demand. So we started to market in advance of that in February. We saw March and April, and we saw that sort of four-month span. We're still continuing to see good Purge demand through the summer. The summer is always a little bit soft, and then, you know, people get back to work in September. So I think looking at the Purge is really what helps you determine that. And if you look at that quarter-over-quarter growth in the same year, you'll see that uptick. And that certainly was there was some pent-up demand in there.
Okay, yeah, no, that's helpful. And I guess if we just go back to the scanning business, how should we be looking at revenue from this segment? Like, is this largely scheduled, or is it more purge-like in nature as well?
Yeah, well, there's three categories, really, when you think of revenue in this area. There's, number one, there's the project chunky purge revenue that we have, and those are people that come to you once, and then they're never back. Then there's repeat customers. Repeat customers are those that they have projects, but they have annual projects. So they might not be every month, but they'll be with you every year or every 18 months. They're there. They're repeat, and they're there. And then you have the recurring. And the recurring are those that are there every month, and they're there forever. And, you know, they'll be, you're sort of embedded in their workflow. So we have a lot of repeat. We have some recurring. And we have, of course, a number of projects. And so what we're actually seeing is our repeat clients are buying more, which is good. Our recurring clients are we're growing our recurring clients, but that's a, like scheduled in the shred business, that takes time. That's just a slow growth. Go to your customers and get them on a program. And then, of course, we're seeing a bit of an uptick in project. Our hope here is using this moment to go out and secure more recurring customers, more repeat customers. We'll always take the project, but the project then, you know, gets chunky. So there's a little element of chunkiness in the business from those projects. But our number one objective when we're selling is, how do we make them repeat to start? And then once they're repeat, you can start to convert them into more recurring revenue.
Okay, great. Yeah, congrats on the great quarter here. I'll jump back in the queue.
Yeah, thank you, Devin.
This concludes the question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Jeffrey Hashem for any closing remarks.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. So first of all, thanks for all the questions and everyone's time this morning. I think, as always, good questions. I think in responding to this, I think you can see that management is really focused on operational efficiency, marketing and sales, and being proactive there on the marketing and sales side. That marketing and sales proactiveness, plus the operational efficiencies that we've seen. We have a gentleman that's been amazing on the routing side and bringing technology to bear. We have more technology resources with us now. All those things we hope will continue to improve the business, you know, put paper to the side and put COVID to the side. We're using the moment to make sure that the long term of this business is sustainable with good margins. So we've taken those moments now, and we've taken those moments literally through COVID. And we're, as I said to start the call, we're seeing some of these good results from that. And the team will continue to use technology as a weapon, continue to think through the routing, and continue to think through being surgical on marketing and sales. And I know they'll continue to do that. They've been doing it, and they'll continue to do that. And, of course, that allows me to continue to execute on the M&A program. And then we can buy things and build things. And that's really my message to everyone is we're going to buy things and we're going to build things the right way. I want to thank everyone again for all the support over the last 2 years. The 18 months have been crazy, but here we are. And we got these results as a team. So thank you very much, everyone. Have a great day. And if you need anything, have any questions, please reach out to Kasia or I. We're always around. Take care.
Thank you. Take care.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.